Well, we are here this morning to wrap up our Multiply message series. But as we're wrapping up the series, one thing we want to be clear in is we're not wrapping up multiplying. That we're just getting started on. You see, the hope is that as we'll continue to read through the rest of this book, Multiply, that many of us have started and learn to really know what it is to live the life of a multiplier. And I think this has been a great series, and it's been a great book study. I know that for me, it's really energized me in becoming and making fully devoted followers of Jesus, and I believe it's beginning to stir within us that need and that passion. I hope to do so, and I hope that's something you agree with. Friends, so far we've talked about what it means to be a disciple. We've talked about the Great Commission of making disciples, of becoming and making fully devoted followers of Jesus. And we've talked about that as an individual way. We've talked about that as a church and as a local church. And we've learned that it's part of God's great plan for the local church. And today we're going to talk about the fact that his plan goes even farther than that, that it's even a greater plan than that one. You see, because God's plan is not only for us to individually multiply, not only for us as a local church, but there's a global plan as well. A global plan as well. Jesus said to go and make disciples of all nations. Of all nations. That tells us that this is bigger than Old Fort. It's bigger than Fremont or Tiffin. It's bigger than Seneca or Sandusky County. Go into all nations. Francis Chan and David Platt, in their book Multiply that we've been reading together, say this about the global church. They say, as important as the local church is, God's plan extends way beyond your town. As much as God wants you to reach the people in your community, he has no intention of stopping there. God's plan of redemption reaches into your neighborhood and to every city, village, and jungle around the globe. So that's our focus as we come together this morning. And let's go to God and ask him to speak to our hearts about being more global. Dear God, I thank you that there was somebody that saw the need to multiply what they believed in you into my life and into the life of each person in this room. We sit here today because of someone invited us, someone poured their life into us, someone talked to us. Somewhere along the line, we have gotten a greater interest and we've grown and we've been multiplied, and some of us maybe are still seeking that, but others just have really become fully devoted followers of yours, and we've been impacted. And the truth is that the whole globe has been impacted by those that multiply. And Lord, we want to pray that you would teach us more about that this morning and challenge our hearts beyond our own neighborhood. And Lord, we love you. We just ask you to lead us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As we begin this morning, let's talk about who God's plan is meant for. With so many people that are in our own backyard that don't yet know Jesus, who aren't yet fully devoted followers of Jesus, who else is it that God's wanting us to reach out to? I mean, how far is too far? How much is too much? Well, friends, I will readily admit to you that I believe that for Old Fort Church right now anyway, for Old Fort Church, I believe our primary task is reaching our area. I think that's part of why we're building a new building. I think that that's part of what God wants to do. There's a lot of folks, a lot of great commission to fulfill right here in our own backyard, and I believe that that's really important, a large majority of where God's calling us to be. However, we don't want it to limit our perspective to only our more direct area. The Bible shares that God's great plan has three key emphases. And the first great emphasis of the plan is this: to reach all the families of the earth. All the families of the earth. Since the very beginning of the Bible, after God created everything, including man and woman, and man and woman corrupted God's creation in their sin, ever since the beginning, God set and planned a motion to restore it, a movement to restore it. Not only for Adam and Eve, but for every family that would come after Adam and Eve that would inherit this corruption. He set in motion a plan. And God says in Genesis chapter 23, verses 2 and 3, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. All the peoples of the earth. Now, God answers that blessing by bringing Jesus to us. That's the answer to that blessing that blesses us, that makes a great nation, that blesses us to bless the rest of the earth. That's what God's intended. Francis Chan and David Platt also say this in their Multiply book. They say, God has called you out to play a role in his plan of redemption. And since his plan is a global plan, your church needs to think beyond your city limits. You can't be everywhere at once, and your resources and manpower are limited, but in order to be part of God's mission on earth, you need to think in global terms. In global terms. Here's the second key emphasis of God's greater plan: to reach where Christ has not been named. Where Christ has not been named. Paul says this in Romans chapter 15, verses 20 and 21. He says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. Let's see if we can kind of get a greater look at our world right now, of those that have come to know Christ and those that don't yet know Christ. Let me see if I can give us a kind of a scope of that by looking at some research done by the Pew Research Group and some other research as well here. But they say that the number of those identifying themselves as Christians around the world has nearly quadrupled in the last 100 years, from about 600 million in 1910 to more than 2 billion in 2010. Now, that sounds pretty encouraging, doesn't it? It sounds pretty encouraging. However, the world's population has risen rapidly from an estimated 1.8 billion people in 1910 to 6.9 billion in 2010. And as a result, Christians make up about the same portion of our world's population, 32%, as they did in 1910, a century ago, which was 35%, so not quite as much. And of course, that tells us that 68% of those in the world do not identify themselves as being Christian. There's also a shift that's happening. Although Europe and America still are home to the majority of the world's proclaimed Christians, 63%, that share is much lower than it was in 1910. In 1910, it was 93%. That's a big change of where the majority of Christians are. Christianity has grown enormously in sub-Saharan Africa and in Asia Pacific region, where there were relatively few Christians at the beginning of the 20th century. The share of the population that is Christian in sub-Saharan Africa climbed from 9% in 1910 to 63% in 2010. So it's growing like crazy in Africa. While in Asia Pacific, it's not as big of a change, but it's gone from 3% to 7% of Christianity today. So it's growing in other parts of the world, not so much in America and in Europe. Now get this, while 32% of the world's population claim to be Christian, that's a decrease of 3% since 1910, 23.9% claim to be Muslim. And that's an increase of 15.9% since 1970. An 8.3% growth, which is growing more, friends. And if that rate continues like that for like the next 45 years, then what you're going to find is that Muslims are a majority over Christianity in our world. The availability of the Bible has increased dramatically. In the 1800s, there were only 67 languages. But by the year 2000, there were 2,800 languages. I didn't know there were that many languages in the world. but 2,800 languages of the Bible. The number of mission agencies is also increasing. In the 1900s, there were 600 agencies. By the year 2025, it's estimated there's going to be 8,500 mission agencies operating. Different denominations are coming together. The churches and parachurch groups are organizing and coming together to reach people for Christ. Of the 6.9 billion people in the world, 4 billion are without Christ. 4 billion. There are still thousands of unreached people groups in the world. 1.7 billion people have no known visible witness of Christ. That means no one's coming and sharing with them Christ in any way, shape, or form. 1.7 billion people. They're never going to hear the name of Jesus unless someone goes to their culture to tell them. That means one-third of the world today has no way of hearing about Jesus. That seems impossible when you're in America where communication is shared so freely to know there are parts of the world where it's not. So I'll have people that come to me from time to time, and they'll ask me the question, do you believe that we're in the end times? Is Christ going to return pretty soon? Or they'll say something like, I just want Jesus to come back now. And friends, although I get the thought that's behind those questions and those statements, I want to say no. No, I don't think so. I want to say, I hope not. There are still way too many people in this world who don't yet know Jesus. Way too many people who haven't even heard his name yet. And that leads us to the third key emphasis of this great plan. To reach them before the end comes. To reach them before the end comes. Chan and Platt speak to this. They say, the world will not end until God's plan is accomplished. God sends his people out into the world to embody and to proclaim his healing. And he will not wrap up human history until this has been accomplished. If his plan has always been about redeeming people from every nation on earth, then he is not content with happy, healthy churches and our communities alone. And we shouldn't be either. Though we should long to see Christ glorified in our immediate context, we should share Paul's passion to see him glorified in every corner of the globe. Every corner of the globe. You know, as they were doing that song before I came up to preach, you saw the globe spinning, didn't you? And I just was thinking as I was watching that globe spin, just how much of the earth's surface is water. There wasn't that much land surface. And I was thinking as it was spinning of the day when they thought the earth was flat. And they didn't even realize it was a globe, that there was a whole globe. And now we recognize the globe and we recognize where the people are on the globe. And that makes this mission so much more pertinent to me, so much easier for me to kind of grasp. This is what Jesus himself was saying in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony of the nations, and then the end will come. Friends, I will not pretend to ever guess or estimate when Jesus is coming back, when the end is coming. I don't have a clue. And the Bible tells me I won't have a clue. But get this, Jesus doesn't say that he's not going to come back until the whole world believes, but he says he's not coming back until the whole world has the opportunity to hear. And that hasn't happened yet. We'll leave the timing of that, we'll leave how that's going to happen all up to God, but that tells us that we need to be focusing on multiplying in our world. And multiplying. So let's spend some time looking at some practical ways that we can go global and multiplying. Many Christians mistakenly think that this responsibility of multiplying in the world is the job of all the missionaries and the pastors, but the Bible is very clear to us that the Great Commission is for everyone, that we all need to go global. So here are some ways that we can go global, some even practical ways, I believe. One way is to use modern technology. Modern technology. When Jesus told his followers to go to the whole world to make disciples, that was probably pretty overwhelming to them. I'm not sure even they had a clue of that globe we saw spinning on the screen a bit ago, what all the globe included. But in their time, they must have been pretty overwhelmed because their only means of transportation was their feet or a donkey or a boat. So their options to get around this world, to go to the whole world, were pretty small. Today, though, friends, we've got planes, trains, and automobiles. And on top of that, we have televisions and computers and smartphones and tablets and the internet. Jesus has the whole world in his hands, but we, like no other generation in history, have the whole world at our fingertips. You can now literally take the message of Jesus to millions of people all around the world from your home computer. Pretty amazing day that we're in. Did you know that we have people from other countries who visit our Old Fort Church website? We've been able to track that, and we can see from other countries, some search somehow has brought them to our website here in little Old Fort, Ohio. That means that people from other countries can read what it means to believe in Jesus on our website. That means that they can hear the sermons if they want to. I become a worldwide preacher, and I never thought that would ever happen. And the thing is we're not even trying. We're not even trying to reach the globe. But people from the globe are finding the website. That tells you how small this world is becoming. We have tools today that no other generations of Christians have ever had. You can fly to Europe faster than you can drive to Myrtle Beach. It is a different day that we live in. Here's the second thing we can do to go global. Give prayer and financial support. Give prayer and financial support. That's something all of us can do. All of us can give prayer if we can't give financially. And some of us can give financial support to different opportunities. Maybe you'll never get to go to another part of the world to share Jesus with somebody else, but you can literally go to other parts of the world by giving prayer and financial support to those who can go to other parts of the world. This makes you part of their mission team. It makes you a partner with them. You're actually a part of what's happening maybe in Africa or in Haiti or in the Ukraine or wherever it is that you are supporting. Let me give you some good examples of how you can do that. One way you can do that is, and some of us have done this already, but it's by sponsoring an underprivileged child in another part of the world through organizations like Compassion International, where they provide for their daily needs, but they also share Jesus with them. They're multiplying there in other countries. Seven of our teens from our youth group went to our mission trip this past summer, and they came back so energized and excited to do something that they took on supporting Dennis, a 16-year-old in Ecuador, who they pay $38 a month to help support, who this young boy now is receiving food and clothing and also receiving the message of Jesus. They're doing that through Compassion International. Like many of us just did in this last few weeks, you can also go across the world through things like Operation Christmas Child, through the shoeboxes. I just was reported to me this morning we had 73 shoeboxes. That means 73 places in our world where children are going to be hearing something about Jesus through Samaritan's Purse, receiving a gift and getting a discipleship tool, multiplying. Some of us are doing that already. You can support a missionary or a mission agency or other types of missions, both local and global. And check this out. Here are some of the places that we do that as a church, both local and global, some different kinds of mission-type things that we support. Of course, we have our weekly backpack ministry where we put foods in kids' bellies from our own schools who have a struggle having that over the weekend. We also have our food pantry that we help contribute to in the community. We have the United Methodist Children's Home that we help support, the Sager Brown Ministry in Baldwin, Louisiana that works for UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief, where they put together kits that go to disaster areas all over the world. We have a team heading there the end of January, and we've had teams going there for several years. That's something we support. We have the Friendly Center in Toledo, the Trindajis, who we support Norvell, who most of us know as Junior, he came as a exchange student and lived with Leona and Carl Murray and the Murray family. And while he was there, he said that part of his experience with the Murrays and this church is why he's doing the ministry he's doing today. And he and his wife are with ILI, which is International Leadership Institute. And they're training disciples all across the globe through this ministry. And part of their origin came out of Old Fort Church, and we support that ministry on a regular basis. We support the Liberty Center in Fremont, Habitat for Humanity, the Morrison House in Tiffin, Share and Care in Fremont. We help support the Bishop's Miracle Offering that went to No More Malaria, where we're helping to educate and provide nets for the mosquitoes that cause malaria in Africa to save lives of children and people and also let them know about Jesus. They said, I think the last rate I heard is there was someone dying once every 30 seconds at one point, and now we've moved that to once every 90 seconds. That still sounds horrible, but what a difference that's been made through No More Malaria. And we even do things through our own helping hands, right here through our own church, help the need of others. I think that's a pretty awesome list, friends, of different things that we're directly involved with. You can also support missions and missionaries on your own. Caroline and the kids and I, we support some friends of ours who are missionaries in Kyiv, Ukraine, where they're impacting the lives of college students, multiplying in the lives of college students in Ukraine, making a huge difference there. I found it much more than a coincidence, much more than ironic this week. I think it was on Tuesday. I was doing work on the sermon, and the mail came to my desk, and I got mail from our denomination, from the United Methodist Church, talking about what we do in global missions. Now, we don't always share a whole lot about our denomination here, and a lot of what you're going to hear in the media is going to be really pretty negative stuff, but there are occasionally some really positive things that we want to make sure we point out, like what we're doing in global missions. And they sent this map of the global missions that we're involved in throughout the world. We have 300 missionaries in 57 different countries. Thank you, Mike. through the United Methodist Missions. And each of these spots represent different places on our globe. And in each of these spots, there's a number that will tell you how many different mission agencies are in those areas. Now, I don't know what's happening in all of these, but I know that the multiplication of Jesus is happening in a lot of them, and it's an opportunity to be involved. They also are connecting with Giving Tuesday. How many people have heard of Giving Tuesday? I don't know when Giving Tuesday started, but Giving Tuesday comes the day right after Cyber Monday. You know what Cyber Monday is? Cyber Monday is a big shopping internet day for Christmas. And Giving Tuesday is the day after, it's December 3rd this year, where you focus on giving back somehow. And what they're doing with the missions in the Methodist Church right now is up to $1 million, they're going to match whatever gift you give to any of these, like Sager Brown is on here, or any of the other different missions. It's actually they'll match up to $2,500 per person, $25,000 per mission, and $1 million altogether. So, you know, it might be that God's leading you to support a mission somehow. I'm going to hang this board downstairs for a few weeks so you can take a look at it. I'll put this up there as well. This gives some information about how you can be a part of that if you feel like God wants you to support in that way. And if you want to learn more about how to do that on your own, you can write this on your outline. You can go to www.umcmission.org/give. I'll say that again. www.umcmission.org/give. And you can check out ways that you can be a part of that Giving Tuesday if that's something God's leading you to do. So that's another way we can be a part of going global is by supporting mission somewhere. And it doesn't have to be through the United Methodist Church. I think I also saw that the Trindades, the ILI, is doubling gifts on that day as well on Giving Tuesday. If you give to them, you're going to have your gift doubled as well up to a certain amount. I'm not sure what it was, but I saw that. on an email this week as well. You can find missionaries to support. You can be praying for them. You can give to them financially if you're able. A lot of different things like that, where you can go global and still live here at home. There's a third way that we can go global, and that's actually going on a mission trip somewhere, where we actually leave our comfortable setting and we go someplace else to do mission. You know, friends, to speak to you from my heart on this, I'm not really sure where God's leading us as a church and going on global mission trips right now. I don't know what that is. I know that many here have been participating in some of the things that we just talked about. We've had some going on the team to Sager Brown, and we've had some that have gone to Haiti, a couple different trips to Haiti. I know I've been on different mission trips within our country, and I've been to Mexico on a mission trip. I've also had my missionary experiences. But right now, I've just not had a strong sense on where God might be leading us in a global plan for where we go in missions to places. Maybe that's back to Haiti. I don't know, but I've been in prayer. I've kind of been trying to survey the feel of the Spirit in our congregation to know that. And just to be honest, I don't really know where he's leading us. And I was talking about that some with Mike and Willie a few weeks ago, and Mike shared some, I think, some real words of wisdom. I know that might surprise some. Jot this down as a time in history that Mike had some wise words, but really, Mike has a lot of wisdom that he brings to us every day. But this is something like what he said. I don't know if this is exact, Mike, but something like this. He said, it's okay to be in a season where we're not sure what all global missions mean for us. We need to be praying about how and where we're supposed to be going, but it's okay not to have the specifics. That's pretty wise stuff, isn't it? Pretty wise stuff. So what I want to invite you to do is to be praying with us about what's God really want us to do globally as far as going and doing missions. And as you pray about that, if you feel God leading us in a particular way, then come talk to me or talk to us, and we can begin to pray through that together about what God would have us do. Now, that all being said, I do believe that in a church our size, God likely is prodding some of us to get out there in the mission field in some way. Maybe that's a short-term mission trip. Maybe that's a long-term mission trip. Jenna Fusco, we know some of us supported her last year in a project that she did with Athletes in Action in Xenia, Ohio. And this summer she's going with them again, this time to Canada for the Women's World Cup. And they're going to be there having opportunities to share Christ really with literally people from all over the world. They get to go global from a couple spots in Canada. Isn't that pretty awesome? And so she's going to be doing that. And we'll be hearing more from her, I'm sure, as she gets closer to those dates. But that's an awesome opportunity. Athletes in Action is a ministry of CRU, Campus Crusade for Christ. And we've had a great connection with CRU over the years through Heidelberg, and we have a lot of our Heidelberg students that kind of have come through that connection as well. And Mike sat down this past week with Mike Slagle, who is the staff person from CRU, who is at Heidelberg, to talk to him some about what they're doing in the world for missions, and kind of to talk to us some about the opportunity to go on some of these short-term or long-term mission trips. So we're going to check out this video from Mike. There was some audio things, so listen really closely so you can hear what Mike has to say. But this is a good segment to check out from Mike Slagle. Check it out.
Hey, before, my name is Mike Slagle. I'm on staff with CRU in Central Ohio. The privilege of reaching out to students at Heidelberg University, Ohio Wesleyan University, and starting a partnership with Cedarville, giving them some of our options as well. In addition to that, I also lead our Kingston-Jamaica partnership, which means I get to help send staff and students down to universities in that city to reach other college students for Christ, just like we're doing here at Heidelberg. And over the last couple of years, it's been incredible to see what God has done. This year we'll send over 100 students total to reach college students in Kingston. The best and the brightest from that region of the world, of the Caribbean, go to the University of West Indies. I've even met a student from Harvard studying abroad there. And it's incredible to get to see the students respond to the gospel. Students are incredibly interested in talking about spiritual things. It is as easy as going up and saying, "Hey, would you like to talk about Jesus to some of the students there?" It's almost as if they were waiting for me to ask them that question. And over the 4 years we've been there, we've seen 300 plus decisions for Christ, students getting plugged in to the movements down there, the churches in the area, being discipled, being grown in their faith. And the great thing about getting to do ministry in a place like Jamaica is the students are ready to go. They understand that the gospel isn't just for them. You know, it's for the nations. And you know what ministry looks like specifically in Kingston. You know, this is our fourth year investing alongside the crew staff and students. We started out in a simple spring break trip. We had some students from Otterbein University outside of Columbus, and I went for a week. And we saw God do some incredible things. There were 15 students that indicated decisions for Christ in that week alone. My family and I went for the summer, along with a few students, for 3 weeks to do the same thing, to get to share our faith, to get to build in the students who are making decisions for Christ. And we've just done those things summer after summer, year after year. Went on spring break trips. We sent students for the summer. And if you have the opportunity to go on those short-term trips, do it. You will see God use you in incredible ways. You probably come back thinking, I think God did more in my life than he did through me. And what an incredible opportunity. I think there are things that you get to learn about yourself when you're in a different culture, a different context, that are just really difficult to learn in your hometown where it's comfortable. But those opportunities, God just really stretches us and grows us and does things in and through us that we might never imagine. And those are some short-term options. Crew also has what we call a stint. We're sending busy students go for a year. I think that's going to happen next fall. We'll be sending our first team to be on those campuses for the next school year. And what an incredible way to invest in the ministry that's happening, to be there long-term. I mean, we're committed. We want to go year after year. We want to send these stint teams year after year. And hopefully, someday, people will be there long-term. You know, missions doesn't have to be one size fits all. It doesn't have to be like, I'm hearing this message, I need to go pack up my family and move to some country in Africa, to a city I can't pronounce. It doesn't have to be like that. There can be these short-term options that are incredible. Maybe God is calling you to something more long-term. And if he is, I challenge you to be faithful to the call, to go. God's going to use you. He's going to provide in every way. We have some friends of ours from college that are in one of those places that trusted God to provide for their family of seven, to go into a dark country to reach people in desperate need, people that have fled their homeland. And they have the privilege of reaching out, sharing the gospel, sharing life with them. And it's incredible to see what God has done to get them to that place. Your starting point might be different than that. You might be going for a week to somewhere, maybe an urban location, maybe overseas. I'll challenge you to go and take advantage of some of the options that are there. You'll see God work in and through you in a great way. I really want to challenge myself and the students we get to work with here at Heidelberg to go to their neighbors. I want them to go to the nations. Go make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And love with you always, and teaching that they all have commanded you, and love with you always, even to the end of the age. And just taking a great commission to the ends of the earth. Over our time in Jamaica, we've seen students and a church go to Cuba. You and I are not getting into that nation, but if we reach Jamaicans, they have the opportunity to go and reach students in a country that we cannot. And the same things are happening all over the world. Our brothers and sisters in a place we call East Asia, you know, I can't give you the name of that country just for security purposes. Crews invested there for about 15, 20 years at this point. And hundreds of decisions have been made, disciples have been raised up, and they're not just saying, this is not just for our country, this is for the nations. They're going into countries that you and I cannot get into. You know, countries that we would never be allowed an American passport. But they have a passion to reach students, reach others with the gospel, and they're doing it. They're going to tough places because it's worth it. The call of Christ is worth it. Hopefully, I want to challenge you. Are we going to our neighbors? Are we going to the nations? God wants to use us in an incredible way. What a privilege to get to carry the message of Jesus to those around us and to those who we might never meet. in any other way. So when you have the opportunity, go, give, pray. You know, God's worth it. The call of the gospel is worth it. And I invite you to partner with what God's doing across the nations. And thanks for this opportunity to share.
Did you catch somebody here's hear of what some of what he said is happening? They're able to reach people in Jamaica who get it, who are quick to go out and share with others, who can go to countries like Cuba and other places, go to places that we can't get into. So they're multiplying in one culture that's going to other cultures to multiply and multiply and multiply. And it struck me when he said that, you know, they get it. They're quick to want to go and share with others. And that's what's happened in Africa, too. In Africa, it's growing so fast because when they get it, they get it. They understand that people really need this. In China, the church has grown like crazy, even though it's underground, because it's illegal there. In Korea, it's grown like crazy. And part of the reason I think it grows so quickly and multiplies in these other places is we've heard so much about Jesus in our culture. It's so much, just even Christmas, it's so much a part of what we hear all the time here that we just kind of are numb to what Jesus really means. We're kind of numb to the fact that he can really impact our lives in any significant way at all. And you go to these countries where they've not even really heard about him yet, where they understand that there's a Savior for their lives. Because we're all built with this inside of us where we know that we need something more. We know there's something empty. We know that we really know we need forgiven. And then you give that to people who have never heard it before, and they just embrace it and they run. We're missing that somewhere in America. And friends, I think there might become a point in time where other countries are going to be sending missionaries to America, because America's not getting it. I heard this story once. I'm sorry I'm off task here for a moment. I heard this story once. I'm not sure if I'm going to get it right, but I'm going to try my best. I was listening to one of the Through Campus Crusade in Christ. I saw a video of one of the leaders from Crew, and he was in another country where they were doing missions. And I can't remember what the country is. I'm sorry, but it's one of those countries where it's much more difficult to be Christian, where it's illegal to be Christian. And he was talking to this missionary. And as they were getting ready to part ways, this was a pastor who had just been released from jail. Just been released from jail for sharing Christ. And as they were parting, he says, "Well, you know, we're praying for you and your mission." And as he's walking away, the guy said, "Well, thank you. We're praying for you too." And then he stopped and he thought, "Whoa, wait a minute. You just got out of jail for sharing Jesus. So you're..." And he stopped him. He said, "Well, wait a minute." He says, "What do you mean you're praying for us in America? What? Why are you praying for us?" And he says, "Well, because, you know, in our country," he says, "we have one copy of the Bible, and we have to memorize it as quickly as we can because we can't keep it. And we distribute the pages so we can memorize it. So when we want to know something like from 1 Kings, we got to go to the person that has 1 Kings memorized so they can tell us about it." He says, "But you're in your country, you've got Bibles everywhere, but people don't even read them. You've got it right at your fingertips, and people don't even know what it means." And it struck this leader from America, and he realized, wow, we have mission work to do at home. We have this place where it's illegal, and they're praying for us. Friends, I don't know what God is going to stir in your heart in the area of missions and whether he's leading you to go on a mission trip somewhere or to support it some way. But I can tell you that we want to support you in any way if you feel like God is leading you to do that. I had a young lady in my last church. She came to me, and we had the privilege of watching her grow from a baby Christian to a more mature Christian. And she came to me one day, and she said, "I just feel like God's leading me to missions. I think I'm supposed to go on a mission trip somewhere." And I'm kind of like, "Well, great, I'll pray with you in that." I wasn't sure what to do. And then I just heard about a district mission trip from the area we were in going to Colombia. I told her about it. She jumped on board right away. She got support. The church paid her whole way. She's now gone 3 or 4 times to Colombia. She's been back with her husband. There are 3 or 4 others from the church that have gone or are thinking about going to Colombia as well on this regular mission trip there. If God's calling you to go on a mission trip, we don't have anything organized right now to do as a church, aren't sure where God's leading us, you come talk to us anyway. We'll help figure out where he's leading you to go and what he's leading you. Maybe he's going to lead you to lead a whole team from our church. I don't know. But we want to be open to wherever God's leading us and going to missions as well. So friends, as we're wrapping up our Multiply Mission series, sermon series, message series today, we're not wrapping up multiplying at all. So where do we go from here? Let me give you 3 quick suggestions on where we go. First, finish the Multiply book. Finish reading. We've only covered a quarter of that book in this series. That means there's a whole lot of book left to read that can help equip you to much more in being a multiplier and becoming and making fully devoted followers of Jesus. And if you've not started reading that book yet, jump in. Start reading it with us. You can read it for free at www.multiplymovement.com. The book is right there and you can read it. Second, continue in your life group. If you've plugged into a Multiply life group or your Sunday school class has been doing this or your group's been going through this material, keep going. Finish the book together. If you want to take a break over Christmas, fine, but jump right back in or just keep going now. There's enough material in this book to take you through May, and it's going to help equip you as a multiplier. If you've not gotten into a group already, jump into one right where we're at and keep going with us as we finish the book. The third thing for you to do is live it out. Live it out. This isn't the end of the series, friends. This is the beginning. This is where the series starts. This is the launching pad. From here, we go forward as multipliers. So live it. You know, friends, Thanksgiving is this Thursday. And there may be some that would have thought, well, I really thought Mark might do a Thanksgiving message. You know what? I got news for you. I just did. I just did, because there's no greater way to give thanks to Jesus, to God, than going global with Jesus. There's no greater way to thank him than multiplying and going global with Jesus. Let's pray together. But dear God, I just want to pray for us and even myself. I've just really struggled with distraction this morning. I feel like my mouth is drier than normal and my tongue has been tied, and I don't know if that's just a force against us right now from really catching a hold of this, catching the fire of multiplying for you. But God, I know that that's what you want us to do as people and as a church. And we've got to figure out what that means for us. We can't just throw up a building across the street and expect it's going to happen. We've got to figure out what it means for us to become and make fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We've got to be in a place that we're going to embrace that and we're going to step forward both in our neighborhoods and across the world and other nations. So God, move your spirit. Keep moving your spirit through us. Help us to be willing to do what you call us to do, to multiply with this amazing message of the God who loves us all so much that he sent his only son to die for us, that we would not perish, but have life everlasting. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. In 2 weeks, we begin a new series called Christmas is for Real. You've already seen all the decorations and everything looming around you. Things are getting really busy. We want to be able to stop and look at the reality of Christmas. It's a great opportunity to invite friends and family. A lot of time they're willing to come at Christmas time when no other time. Maybe you've invited them 100 times. Try once more. Maybe one of those weeks, all those weeks, they'll come hear about the realness of Christmas. We got to find what's real in it, don't we, friends? We got to find what really matters about it. That's what we'll be talking about starting in 2 weeks. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving and be a multiplier.